From the Theater Talk studio at WBFO, I'm Mark Scott. Welcome to the Press Pass podcast with Buffalo Spree editor Elizabeth Licata.
Hello, Mark.
Hi. The April issue of Buffalo Spree is arriving in mailboxes this week. Elizabeth and her team of writers introduce us to some of the little luxuries that are available in and around Buffalo. What are you talking about here?
Well, not, you know, big things like, you know, we're not talking about diamond rings or Mercedes or, you know, trips to Bali or something like that. We're talking about things that definitely under 500 and sometimes considerably under that. But they just make you, they give you more time to do other things. It's just something that makes your life easier and makes you happy.
Well, one of the luxuries that caught my eye was an article about the resurgence of vinyl records. In this day of digital music from Pandora and Spotify, many audiophiles prefer the luxurious sound of the vinyl record.
Not just many. They're outselling. You're going to see more people buying records than CDs. You're not going to find CDs anymore. CDs are just about gone. People are buying vinyl. New vinyl is being pressed. This isn't just vintage vinyl either. And there's a whole new set of equipment to play it. It's fascinating. I mean, those of us who grew up with vinyl might feel a little bit daunted by the prospect of having to put all that together again, you know, if you want to. So I hope that the article helps a little bit with that.
Well, I was amazed to read that CDs are hard to find because I last bought a CD 5 years ago, Bruce Springsteen's Wrecking Ball.
Right.
Haven't since, and so I haven't been looking for them. But the sales of vinyl records continue to increase. So with Record Theater now closed, where can you find vinyl in and around Buffalo?
Well, there's at least two places mentioned in the article. One of them is Revolver Records, which has a location on Hurdle and also a new location on Elmwood. But there are lots of places to buy vinyl, any kind of many vintage places, like my antique man on Allen, he always has a lot of vinyl. You find it in big yard sales. You find it in garage sales. So there's traders. There's vinyl events. I believe I talk about another part of the magazine. I believe Sugar City is having a big vinyl event. So you can trade with people. There's this Vinyl Me Please subscription service, and a lot of our little luxuries have to do with that subscription services where the stuff you want comes to you, so you don't have to go out and get it, whether it's food or makeup or records, and it's a curated vinyl subscription service, which I had not heard of. That's why we have writers, and it sounds really fun, and I think all of your audiophiles, it's just something that's made to order for them, and the records are all different colors. I was looking at some of the new turntables, really sleek, very classy looking, very high style.
Mm-hmm. Much to my wife's chagrin, I never got rid of my vinyl collection.
Good for you. See?
I still have a
You're ahead of the game.
I have a JVC turntable that I purchased at Circuit City. Remember
sure,
that?
I remember Circuit City.
And as I was prepping for our conversation, I reached into my collection and just grabbed an album, and I came out with the Doobie Brothers, The Captain and Me. I Googled it, and it was released 46 years ago this month, and it had the scratchy sounds on it from overuse through the years. But despite that, the album still sounded great.
Well, I've been told ever since, for decades by other people, especially by musicians, that the vinyl gives you a better sound. I mean, I suppose it depends on what you're playing it with, the quality of your receiver and so on, and the quality of the turntable. I believe one of the important points made in the article is to don't cheap out on your turntable. Get a good one.
Yeah.
If you had to back in the day.
Yeah. If I get serious again, I might have to, because I don't know how rugged this JVC is, but it works.
Well, you're lucky. You wanted to start from scratch.
Do you have a vinyl collection?
I did. It's all dissipated, gone. So at this point, I'm just going to stick to streaming, I think. And, you know, that ship, I think, has sailed for me.
Well, the last new vinyl I bought was Bruce Springsteen's theme here, Working on a Dream. And what they did, you got the vinyl, but you also got a code number so you could download it digitally to your iPhone. And that was kind of nice that I can listen digitally, which is the way I do most of my listening, but still had the vinyl. Interesting. Well, another of life's luxuries in the April spree is treating yourself to a home-cooked meal without the cooking. Tell us about the meal services that have popped up around Buffalo.
Now, this is kind of different than like the meal kits like Blue Apron and so on, which, you know, I've tried and enjoy, which are convenient. You don't just shop or meal plan. This gives you your whole dinner. And it also, I think what's attractive about these is that they cater to a lot of dietary needs. You know, your paleo diet, your gluten-free, dairy-free, so on, vegan. So all these kind, and they are specifically tailored to people who have very specific dietary requirements, many of these services. And they don't seem very expensive at all, and you can just stop by and pick up a few days' worth of meals.
Occasionally I enjoy buying a prepared meal, and I like to have something that I normally wouldn't cook for myself.
Yes, I think that's what I would like about it. I don't know that that's the idea here. I think the idea here is for just really busy people who, you know, say you don't get home until like, what, 6, 6:30, 7. Do you really want to like start opening the refrigerator and pulling out stuff and, you know, spend another hour putting a meal together? No,
and
probably not. And but it's the benefit is that it is healthy.
Yeah.
It is, you know, it's fresh, healthy food.
Also in the April issue, you wrote an article introducing us to Brad Wales. He's a UB architect who specializes in helping people in smaller, older homes who are looking to renovate and want an open plan and plenty of natural light.
Yes, he's done way more renovations than I had realized throughout Western New York, and not just within the city of Buffalo, but also out in East Aurora, all over the place. And I've known Brad for almost 20 years, and I knew him when I was president of the Allentown Association, and he and his students were doing these small built works for Allen Street, many of which are still there, and I visited their classroom at UB, their studio, and talked to them about what their plans were and why they were making what they were making, and it was really exciting, and he's continued with that, working with his students, and actually, this is very rare for architects who are learning to be actually building things out in the community. You never hear about that, and Brad's program quite rightly won an award for that. And he's also a big advocate of passive solar, where you don't have to worry about having solar panels. You just build your house so that it soaks up the sun as best it can and is also shaded so that you're always comfortable, and he's kind of an expert at that.
People interested in seeing and learning more about him, there's a exhibit at the Benjamin Contemporary Gallery on Allen Street starting in May.
May 11th. I think it's just that one day.
Okay.
To go and see it. And that is also, Brad's home is on the second floor of that. His offices are on the first floor. And his wife, Beth, I should say, has a Pilates studio.
Okay.
There too, and Brad has designed all this, and he's got a building in back of his home that he's renovating. So he's just full of projects, always busy, always interesting.
My wife and I visited the Albright Knox Art Gallery last month, and there are two major exhibits: We the People and Humble and Human.
Now, both great shows.
The March Spree has more about these exhibits, and We the People is an exhibit of contemporary works, and I'll be the first to admit that sometimes when I view these works, I don't get them. But one I was intrigued by was This Is Not a Fountain. And for those of you who have seen it, it's that collection of pots and pans with water streaming from about 60 faucets that takes up almost an entire room. All of the pots and pans were used by people living in India, where the artist comes from. And as I focused on each individual pot or pan, you know, I kind of thought about the people who had used it and what their life was like.
It's so evocative. It's so symbolic. I mean, I think about water, too, when I look at it. It's like, where does water come from? I mean, we have the luxury of having decorative fountains. But what about people whose access to water is such that they're not at the fountain stage? They're just looking to get clean water into their communities and into their homes. And it made me think of that, too, because of the sound of running water that is so much a part of the installation, and to see our picture, as great as it is, Casey Kratt did a great job. It's just not the same. You must go and see it. And I just think that show, and then of course The Humble and Human with all those impressionist masterpieces. It's got the best of both worlds for the traditionalist and people who are interested in cutting edge contemporary work.
I just kept walking around and around it. I must have spent 15 minutes and I just couldn't walk away.
I'm glad it spoke to you.
Yeah. And then, of course, so satisfying to spend some time with Manet and Cézanne and Van Gogh. That was pretty neat, too.
It gives you a sense of what the Albright Knox could be if all those works, remember, are in their collection. That's not a traveling show that We the People and a lot of the Humble and Human works in their collection. Mm-hmm. So imagine if we were seeing, and I'd never seen any of those works on display before, and that is why they're expanding. There's just so much work.
Yeah, that'll be great. Finally, before you next join us, Easter will be here, as well as Dingus Day, the annual celebration. The April issue features a reprint of an earlier article by our old friend Gabe DeMayo on the roots of this Polish celebration.
Yes, I had to edit it down, but interviewed Polish scholars, Sophie Nab. People have written books on Polish traditions and got right down to the real roots of the tradition. And so I was so pleased to reprint it. It's just as true now as it was when we printed it 2 years ago and would have been just as true 20 years ago or 30 years ago. So it's definitely the very definition of an evergreen article, and then the wonderful historic image from the Buffalo History Museum's library.
And once again, I'll be judging the best kielbasa contest at the Broadway Market.
There are so many people who are very jealous of that.
I'm looking forward to that and bringing my appetite the day after Easter. So, Elizabeth, thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much, Mark.
Elizabeth Licata is editor of Buffalo Spree. Mark Scott, WBFO News.